Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Lately, we're all about streamlining our lives and getting rid of toxic extras. Speaking of which, when was the last time you checked on what's in your skincare products? Can you even pronounce the ingredients? I recently was clued into Beauty Counter, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Beauty Counter is a clean makeup and skincare brand that started in 2013, disrupting the beauty industry by shedding a light on the need for stronger ingredient regulations in the personal care products we use daily. Today, Beauty Counter is the leading clean beauty brand, creating innovative and high-performing products that are safer and cleaner than even their like-minded competitors. And like every company I love to support, Beauty Counter is deeply mission-based. Their mission? To get safer products into the hands of everyone because they believe that beauty should be good for you. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not a huge makeup person, but I'm super particular about what goes on my face. And that's why I love, love, love the Countermatch Adaptive Moisture Lotion, which I use every morning. Because we all know Los Angeles gets hot, and it's that dry heat that sucks your skin dry. This lightweight lotion provides hydration that lasts 24 hours. You definitely gotta check it out. And now through March 15th, you can get free shipping on your first purchase of $100 or more at beautycounter.com code females. That's free shipping on your entire order of $100+ at beautycounter.com, but only if you use the code females, F-E-M-A-I-L-S. Restrictions apply.
Hi there, I'm Lauren McGoodwin with teammates Kayleen Holden and Aaliyah Kamalova. Welcome back to The Females, a podcast from Career Contessa that delivers helpful, actionable career tips and advice for women so you can be more fulfilled, healthy, and successful at work. Today's episode is about mortifying work stories and how to bounce back.
We're going to hear real-life horror stories from Career Contessa readers and give you 4 steps to take in order to overcome an embarrassing moment.
We'll also be answering your listener questions in our segment, Dear Career Contessa, where we give you specific advice on your career questions. Today, we're discussing what to do when you don't have enough work at work.
And now, this is The Females. Okay, guys, so mistakes happen. Embarrassing moments happen. But I feel like when they happen at work, you truly have this moment where you're like, I should just quit and never come back again because you don't think you're ever going to recover. So we wanted to cover this topic because one, it's just nice to hear that you're not alone and that other people have experienced embarrassing things before. But also we were thinking back the other day in the office about how like back in the day you would get these magazines in the mail, very exciting. And at the back, they would talk about these mortifying work stories. And we're missing that. Like now we don't get that. But we have Instagram. And so we've curated some by asking Career Contessa community to send us their stories mixed in with some of ours. So, you know, we just felt like this was important to bring back too.
Yeah, I think I learned what the word mortifying yes. meant from those magazines.
Yeah.
100%.
So actually they were really educational and
you knew what to look forward to when yeah. you were going to work later. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of polled like my friends before this, we recorded this episode to just, because it's like an interesting and like funny inherently topic. Like as soon as I was like, oh, do you have like an embarrassing work story? And it's like a second and then oh, yeah. Yeah. I have like one specific thing that I can like.
That's burned in my memory yeah. forever. I'll never forget it. Yes.
Yeah. And at the time, I'm sure it wasn't so funny, but I think in retrospect, it's like funny to look back on.
Well, that's kind of the thing about embarrassing moments is that once you get past the part of wanting to, you know, quit and never be seen again, you can be like, yeah, I can laugh on this
story.
Yeah. It will be a good
story I can tell. Oh, gosh.
Okay, well, that's why on today's episode, we're going to be, one, sharing these stories, and then two, we'll talk about the steps to bounce back from an embarrassing moment at work. So let's get into it. Aaliyah, tell us your embarrassing story.
So
I'm already laughing.
I have two stories in mind. One's shorter, one is more bathroom related, and one is not. So I'm going to choose your own adventure, which one you guys want to hear.
I feel like we have a lot of bathroom stories, so we should probably bookend.
Okay, I'll save it for then if we have extra time. But this is my friend. This anonymous person was working at a coffee shop. He was like 18, so I feel like it makes it better. It wasn't like, I don't know, super detrimental to his career or anything.
His confidence.
Yeah. But he was extremely tired and hungover. And he worked at a coffee shop. I think
he was 18 and hungover.
Yeah, 18 hungover. You do the math. And this is in the U.S. And so he was working at this coffee shop that was inside of a church. And so in Texas. And which I don't understand the layout of what this church was. But anyway, he was at a cafe in this church. He was extremely tired, hungover, starving because of it. And so he found this bag of chips and consumed the entire thing. And then turns out that was communion. Yeah. So they didn't have chips for the actual service. So he's like, I didn't know. I thought it was just a big... He's not a
clearly not
the most
religious
person. So he, I guess, wouldn't recognize these weird looking chips. Like, it is ridiculous to eat a whole bag, though. But he says they came just like in a large bag, like normal. So... he was just like mindlessly eating it all. Also, probably not supposed to be just snacking excessively on his job. But.
Just as someone who grew up Catholic, like not a great snack.
Also, very super wafer plain, right?
They're completely plain, no salt, nothing.
Great. To eat a full bag of those, that's what he did. And so the worst part was when his boss or manager, whoever, approached him and was like, hey, did you consume the whole, body of Christ, I guess, isn't that what it's symbolic of? And he just had to look him in the face and be like, yes, because there's just no way to get out of it, because it's like, this thing was here.
Yeah.
I know you consumed it and it's gone, and like really affecting how we're going to run this service.
Right.
So, and he basically fired him right there and was like, because he's ungodly. And so to be fired by a boss because you're ungodly when you're 18.
That's discrimination.
I don't know what it was. I'm sure he did break a bunch of, I don't know, employee codes there. Yeah, I think it's so funny to have to admit that you really messed up. In a way where you thought no one would notice. Like, I'm just snacking, whatever.
You ate 100 bodies.
Sometimes you mess up and you're like, I know I messed up. But he was messing up. It was completely oblivious.
It was thinking that no one's going to catch me, which is the ultimate embarrassment when you have to own up to it 100%. There's just no way I'm getting out of it.
Oh, and he got fired. That's so, well, he'll never forget that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I asked on Instagram, and this was her response. Girl, I got you. So this was an anonymous person. She says, I was back at work a couple months after maternity leave, and I thought I could make it to the bathroom in time, but didn't, and full on peed my pants. I had an important meeting and didn't have time to go home and change. So I stole/borrowed without asking a coworker who was on vacation's dry cleaning. She said she wore her pants the rest of the day, got them dry cleaned the next day, and back in her cubicle before she got back. To add insult to injury, I never told her. We weren't close, but we wore the same size and it was an emergency.
Oh my God.
I feel like
that's just resourceful. Totally
I was going to say, what's mortifying is peeing your pants at work. Yes, that is mortifying. But also, I agree. That is whoa, you went MacGyver and you figured out how to make this work. All without anybody noticing. Yeah. But what I was thinking would have been the intense part of that story is the whole is somebody gonna find out? You're convinced that everybody can tell, but they don't know. So I thought that was pretty good.
I thought that her story was gonna pivot to and I was wearing my coworker's pants. She shows up and is like, "Are you wearing my pants?" You know, or something.
And I peed in the antagonist.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was gonna be way worse. So I feel like that's like she lucked out by having
that shit.
To me, that's like pants being 8 months pregnant is like a inspirational story. Actually, so don't have your dry cleaning at work.
I had another person write in to tell me that they worked at like a sports media company and the CEO was in town, who's like never in town. And so she got all dolled up and like wore high heels. And she said she tripped right in front of the conference room that he was at and like came out and he like made a comment like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" But like his voice was so loud. She's like, you know, even if they didn't see me trip, all of a sudden everybody like popped up because all of a sudden someone's going like, "Oh my God, you fell. Oh my, wow, yeah, that was such, that was a really hard fall. Are you sure you're okay?" And she's like, the volume just felt so loud in my ear. But yes, I mean, you knew there was going to be a story of someone tripping in front of someone because that's always like go-to for mortifying.
Yeah.
I feel like if I fall and no one sees it, I have to like go tell people just in case, like maybe just in case they did see it. And like, it's more embarrassing for me not to have like.
I always just start laughing like absolutely by myself.
You have to.
Yeah.
So mine's my own story, because when we started talking about these stories, I just, it's one that I kind of like packed away and then it came up and it was like, I can still kind of like feel the dread moment that I had. So this was like a pretty long time ago. It was my first job post-college. I had gone down to North Carolina to visit my sister because she just had a baby and he was so cute and we're having just the nicest trip. And she's like, "You should stay a little longer." And I think her husband was like, he was in the Navy, so I think he was gone too. So we were just like having great sister time. So she was like, "I think you should stay." She's like, "I'll extend your trip." So I'm like, "All right, let's like do two more days or something." So I write this email to my boss being like, "Oh my God, my flight got canceled." And this is like, I want to say this is like 13 years ago. So this is before like it's really easy to look things up. To double check this, that this story, to verify this story, she has like called JetBlue and put in some legwork. So I write this email being like, "My flight got canceled, blah, blah, blah. I'll be back at work like in 2 days. And she didn't write back to my email, but she called me. And she was like, "So your flight got canceled?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, my flight got canceled. I'm going to come back." And I gave her like my new flight info because I had new flight info. She's like, "Your flight wasn't canceled. So I'm going to ask you again, was your flight canceled?"
Oh, and I was like, what if she was absolutely bluffing? She was just like, "I don't think it. What if she didn't check at all?"
Well,
Kayleen fell for it. Yes.
She was also, I love her. We're friends to this day, but she was scary.
Yeah.
I was 22
just that question made me like immediately think of like when you try to lie to your mom and your mom's like, "I'm gonna ask you one more time," and then you know the gig is so up. They know.
You just
so what happened? So you had to admit it.
I mean,
you have to.
It wasn't like, I mean, I felt like, listen, I was like, "Bye, I have this brand new nephew. I just really wanted to stay. Like, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm an idiot, obviously." Like, I mean, I don't see how you can double down and be like, "No, my flight was canceled."
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know. I guess there was like two options. It was like to like, what, like spend eat dirt?
Yeah.
Or to be like,
no, definitely you admit that.
Or to quit. But luckily I didn't.
What did she say though?
She was like, basically just never lie to me again. And I didn't. And it's not worth lying to your boss.
Yeah.
Especially now when things are way more trackable too. But that just taught me a lesson about just be upfront. Like the thing is, if I had said to her like, "I want to stay, I'm loving this time with my sister, my nephew."
She probably would have said yes.
And I think that's where the insult happened to her. She's like, "I would have said yes to you. Like, there was no reason for you to lie."
Yeah. I do feel like, as you said, like, don't ever lie to your boss, but also the gossip thing too. Like, we had a couple people write in who were like, "I replied all and when I meant to reply just to that part." Like, you're basically kind of insulting somebody and you're saying something that you wouldn't actually say to their face. I know it's very quick to do that on Slack in email, but it's like, it is not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like when you like screenshot something, like send it back to the person or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, text and they're like, "What?"
And you're like,
I think my friend did that actually to like a girl he was like dating or something, where he like screenshotted her, the conversation they had of themselves, like to ask advice or something, and like just wrote LOL and sent it back to her. And she was like, "What?
She's like, how is this funny?"
Yeah, it's like that.
No, and then
the work scale is like so common too. Like,
yeah.
We're just like, what? Why send this?
I mean, haven't we learned anything from like the news? Like, never put anything work related.
Yeah.
If you have to like have a gossip moment, just like say it away from your phones and everything. I don't know. Just don't put it in writing.
It's not going to go well. So just some other ones that came in that I thought were good. Someone said that they booked, and these are less mortifying. They're more just like, it's embarrassing because you have to then admit, as you said, like with your friend, like it's, maybe the act itself is not. Yeah, it's just like, now you got to admit that you made this big mistake. She said, I booked 6 people, including clients, on the wrong flight. So a lot of them were bathroom related too. So I'm sparing you guys from some that were too much. But this other woman said, on a national teleconference call, I started to pee without my phone on mute. I didn't realize.
Okay, that's embarrassing.
I need to know another part of that story, though, because she did it and she thought she was being sly, but someone on the call had to go, who's peeing?
Yeah, because she would think she's, unless she just realized after that it's not mute. But it's so much worse to someone that's like, I'm sorry, let's pause the meeting with this
board
of advisors.
Yeah, it's bad. Here's another good one. Someone said, doing CPR as an ER resident MD, my scrubs pants started to fall down and my boss pulled them back up for me.
Okay, that was pretty chill of the boss, I guess, to help out.
But how embarrassing. Your pants are literally falling down, but you can't stop what you're doing because, okay, you know how I always say, like, facetiously, I'm like, it's not like we're performing brain surgery, you guys. It's like, but she's actually saving a life. She cannot stop what she's doing. Oh, man. Okay, well, after this quick break, we will be back with our 4 steps on what you can do to actually bounce back and recover from an embarrassing moment at work. Because, yes, most of these people probably did have to go back to work. So let's listen to this quick sponsor and then we'll be back. Let's talk about Acuity. Acuity could be your new 24/7 assistant that works behind the scenes to fill your calendar and take hours of work off your plate. Rather than exchanging endless emails, Acuity lets your clients come directly to you. Acuity scheduling software allows you to share your real-time calendar with your clients in an instant. It allows incoming clients to self-book appointments, reschedule with a click, and even pay online. Acuity has lots of features, but the one I want to talk about today is their customizable intake forms. Since we're talking about embarrassing work mistakes, let's talk about these tools that are great for avoiding a few common ones. Know everything about the other meeting participants before the meeting even begins. With Acuity's customizable intake forms, you can effortlessly gather all the pertinent information in a neat, tidy, and centralized place. Give yourself a digital assistant with Acuity today. Save yourself from the drudgery of having to keep up with your clients while managing your own busy schedule with Acuity Scheduling. For a limited time, you can get 45 days of Acuity Scheduling absolutely free, no credit card required, by just going to acuityscheduling.com/females. That's acuityscheduling.com/females, FEMAILS. All right, now let's get back to the show.
All right, now that we've heard about some very mortifying work mistakes, let's go over some things you can do to actually move forward.
We've got 4 steps for you to follow. And step number 1 is calm down and collect yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's really gutsy of us to say calm down because I feel like...
Oh, relax.
I feel like people do not like being told. But this is meant in a very like, you are feeling like red in the face and the heat that comes on from embarrassment, but it's like the best thing you can do is actually like take some deep breaths.
Yeah. And it's kind of like what Kayleen and I were talking about. It's like sometimes even if you were the only person that you only affected yourself or one person, it's like sometimes you just need to like laugh and just get that. Otherwise, if you just kind of repress and be like, no, that's totally fine and there's nothing happened, it's like that's just going to eat away at you. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know. It's nice to either just laugh about it if it's something super minor and kind of embarrassing, or if it's like a huge mistake that resulted in like
someone yelling at you.
Yeah, or something like that, or like a project being derailed in some sort of way. It's still important to just have a moment of like, okay, I'm not going to react from a place of panic because that's what it usually is.
Yeah.
Or defensiveness, like extreme being defensive, which is not going to be good.
Yeah, defensiveness, I would say, to steer clear of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention it, but one of the stories that we got was a woman who planned an entire event for like a bunch of people and flew to the wrong city. And so like... then everyone's there and you're not there and you're the person who's organizing it. And I feel like in those situations where your mistake impacts other people, so it's not just embarrassing for you, it actually like messes with work. and you're feeling the shame of, you know, the mistake that you made, but also maybe you are getting some like not nice feedback on the other end. I think, yes, one of the best things you can do is like not be defensive, but also recognize like before you react to anything, just take a moment to, I mean, everybody makes mistakes, but it can feel a little different when your mistake is now impacting like your company, your boss, your revenue, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
And sometimes I think you feel super rushed to like fix the situation that you're just like, I just need to like do something, and it'll just cause more mistakes in the process or escalate the situation in a negative way.
Yep.
So it's good to just kind of reflect on what just happened so that you can thoughtfully move forward.
Right.
Which is our second step, is to identify a solution.
Right.
So, I mean, this can really range. I mean, we've heard like several different stories, but there's usually a solution. I mean, they're always
like borrowing your coworker's pants.
Exactly. Scope out the dry cleaning in your office. See who's there. See who's out of office. Take their pants. But yeah, I think it's kind of like a formulaic thing. You're like, okay, now what?
Yeah. And there might not be a solution. It might be that you just did something really embarrassing, or for the example of the person who like replied all to the wrong person, like what is your solution going to be? Because I would also say that sweeping things under the rug and just pretending like they didn't happen and letting some like weird awkwardness or tension get created between you and another person is not healthy.
Usually I think like, especially in that case, when you do that, I think the feeling of embarrassment is there because you're like, that was probably a crappy thing to do. So I think you can be pretty honest and be like, listen, I'm really embarrassed because that was dirty of me or immature or self. And like, I think if you can come back with that, I think most people can appreciate that.
Yeah.
And it's true.
I think that's it too, is like sort of owning it, but like honestly owning it. So not just being like, I'm really sorry I did that, but being like, okay, and like in the reply all, saying like, that was a not nice thing to do. Like sometimes people want to hear a specific about it and not just like, I'm sorry. Because I do think I'm sorry could potentially get thrown around. But if you say I'm sorry with a little bit more detail.
Yeah. I'm sorry I replied all. Like it's not really, it's like, I'm sorry I said those things or had.
That was hurtful. Yeah. I should not have said it. Like I think sometimes recognizing that your behavior wasn't nice or good, I think that can mean a lot to people on the other end.
In that instance, even though it doesn't solve the problem, it is the solution to the situation. It's like, there's nothing else you can do to retract what you did. So might as well just own up to it.
Right.
Let's take a break from our most embarrassing stories to talk about our skin, which coincidentally was something that used to mortify me on a regular basis in my earlier teens. Yay. Let's talk about Beauty Counter, the greatest gift you can give your skin. Beauty Counter is a clean makeup and skincare brand that started in 2013. Beauty Counter disrupted the beauty industry by shedding a light on the need for stronger ingredient regulations in the personal care products we use daily. Their mission is to get safer products into the hands of everyone because Beauty Counter believes that beauty should be good for you. From moisturizers to makeup, cleansers to sunscreen, Beauty Counter is at the forefront of using clean ingredients to create products that are effective and really work. I personally love the Dew Skin Tinted Moisturizer, which comes in 5 shades and includes SPF 20 protection. For those days when you don't feel like wearing a full face of makeup, but you do want to protect your skin from those harmful UV rays. And now through March 15th, you can get free shipping on your first purchase of $100 or more at beautycounter.com with promo code FEMALES. That's free shipping for your entire order of $100+ at beautycounter.com, but only if you use the promo code FEMALES. Again, beautycounter.com, promo code FEMALES, FEMAILS. Restrictions apply. All right, now let's get back to the show. Our third step is to create an action plan. So for example, the person who went to the wrong city, obviously the action plan would be, how can you as quickly as possible get to the correct city? But also, how can you ensure this doesn't happen again? I will say most of the time with stuff like that, it probably happens once and then it's like, you don't forget. But like there are times where like the person who tripped in front of the boss with high heels, it was kind of like,
You can't plan for that.
Like, yeah. There isn't an action plan other than to maybe be like, you know, maybe don't wear high heels that you aren't as comfortable walking in or something. But the reality is sometimes mistakes just happen. Mm-hmm. There is no action plan after that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Or you shouldn't, your action plan should be like no action, because it's like, what are you going to do? Change who you are because you tripped mm-hmm. in heels once? We've all tripped in heels. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've heard from a couple of my friends when I was asking them about this, is that a lot of the work mistakes they made with, like, I don't know, miscalculating numbers or whatever came from like a lack of training or something that they genuinely didn't know. And when they were doing it at the time was fine. Like it wasn't like they were doing something that they thought no one would see or that they forgot to do something. They were doing what they thought was correct.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know, sending something to someone that wasn't supposed to get it.
Right.
And they thought, oh no, I thought I was supposed to do it. And then there's a backlash or something where it's like, oh my God, you're not supposed to do this. And then you feel like embarrassed or like guilty. So I feel like also if you do something like that, that you just didn't know that you were doing wrong, is to like take steps to learn.
Ask questions. Yeah. Yeah.
And to like, maybe that's because you were unsure of something and we're just like,
or you were moving too quickly.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And just have that moment of training or whatever that you need. If you're like, I need a list of people who we shouldn't send this to, or like whatever it is that is within your company that you just maybe didn't know if it's like your new job or something.
Right. Sometimes your plan of action is to be proactive and ask questions. Even if you're not totally sure what the question is you should be asking, because as you said, there are times where you'll do something and you just lacked the training of it. Yeah. And then someone's like, no, we never send that to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of challenging because you technically made a mistake, but it was like, but also the train or like your manager, mm-hmm. whoever was supposed to train you also made a mistake too. Yeah. So that's also, I guess, a lesson for us in here too, is like when you're training people mm-hmm. and they make a mistake, recognize that like before you react to them, their mistake is sort of your mistake also, it could be.
I think in general, like when people make mistakes, it's like as the reactor, I guess, to the mistake, maybe whether it's the boss or the person who's wronged, it's like, I think it's important to like put yourself in their shoes, like, and not try to make a person feel worse for making a mistake. Like, I was in a situation where I was actually on a podcast and we did the whole thing and she hadn't recorded it, and she was like so embarrassed and like kind of upset about it. I was like, it's fine. Like, you made a mistake. Are you like, I think it's like running questions through your head, like, oh, is this person trying to hurt me? Are they trying to embarrass me? And if the answers are no, then it's like being on the other side, just to kind of like be like, it's a mistake. It happens. It probably won't happen again.
The most specific malicious thing to, I'm going to waste an hour of her time.
Yeah. Like, it's not. And my time as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then our fourth and final tip is to move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've got to be able to move forward, onward and upward.
Yeah.
And let it be a good story.
Yeah. And I think that if you did something embarrassing or made some sort of mistake, and it's so toxic, the culture, and you know that's like not rightfully earned, because again, like, you know, it might be time to truly move on from that position. Right. If you feel like so ostracized by the people around you for something, I don't know, silly or like bigger, it's not good to just stay in that and like feel horrible about yourself.
They give you a nickname.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need like playground bully environment.
I mean, that's a good point. Like, what happens also if you keep making mistakes, then maybe this is the question of like, is this the right environment for you? Because maybe you need to examine, okay, why do I keep making the same mistakes? Is it because I'm moving too quickly? Is it because I'm not asking for feedback? Is it that I don't know?
You just don't like it.
The software. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do think that's a good question to ask, to internally ask yourself, like, okay, making a few mistakes, whatever, humble, you know, makes you humble. Everybody makes mistakes. It's how you learn. But there is kind of a scale, or the tipping of the scale, where it's like you are consistently making mistakes. Your confidence is getting beaten down, and yourself, like kind of your feelings of self-worth are also getting beaten down, and you need to be able to like recognize the difference.
Yeah. And I think like going back to our previous step, the creating an action plan, it's like that. Just implementing that plan is a form of moving on.
Right.
Like say your boss is really mad at you because you did something, but if you present sort of a plan or work together to make that plan, you implementing it with help of management or whoever you need is part of moving on. And it's like,
Yeah.
So that's something that doesn't happen again.
That's a good reminder. Like when you make your plan, share it with other people.
Yeah.
That's really important. Yep. And share it with the people who need to know, as well as your managers, who like whoever's aware of the mistake. I mean, I know we told really funny stories, but there are times where like these mistakes are much bigger and serious. And so make sure you share that with your boss and even send a recap email so they understand like, okay, yeah, she made a mistake or she didn't catch on to that thing, but she's taking the action. Because I do think the effort and the being proactive about it is really, really important. And ultimately, those are the employees that people want to invest in.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you made a mistake, but you're learning from it and you're taking the actions to get better. Yeah, we're going to spend more time making sure that you can be the best at your job. Mm-hmm. So that's something also to think about is, like I said, I know we told funny stories, but there are obviously serious work mistakes, but that's how you can kind of work through them in a way where you could actually turn this into a huge positive, where you become the employee that everybody wants to spend more time with and invest more time and energy with.
And I think just like mentally too, like in a few years' time, it'll be a lot more interesting and funny to look back on.
Yeah.
And honestly, maybe start writing about it.
Yeah.
Just, that way you can be like, oh, this is just material for my personal journal.
Yeah.
That I will publish.
Keep
one
it
day.
In your work journal.
Yeah, exactly. That I'll publish in a teen magazine.
Exactly. All right. So let's recap. Our four steps that you can take with you when you need to recover from an embarrassing work moment are: number one, calm down and collect yourself. Number two, identify a solution. Number three, create an action plan. And we'll just add, share it with, you know, the managers and your bosses, et cetera. And number four is move on. Welcome to Dear Career Contessa, the part of the show where we answer your questions. Remember, if you have a career question, you can submit it to us via DM on at Career Contessa on Instagram, email us info@careercontessa.com, or leave us a voicemail, 844-FEMALES. All of that information is included in the show notes as well. So today's question came to us via direct message on Instagram. She said, a big challenge for me is that I have very little to do. In addition, some of the tasks I do have will be automated to a degree, which will leave me with even less work. So in essence, I'm wondering, what do you do if you don't have enough work at work? I'm ambitious and I would like to learn and develop in my career, but struggle to see how to go about it. I would appreciate your 2 cents on this. Thanks for the podcast and interesting topics. Probably didn't have to add that last part, but
toot
our own horn.
She said it, so.
Yeah, we always say it word for word. Okay, so we actually wrote an amazing article about this, which is what to do when you're bored at work. I do think this, and we can like definitely list out some of the tips we had there, but ultimately I do think this is part of a bigger kind of conversation of like, what happens if you have a job where you are really ambitious, but there's just no work to do? So before we get into the tips of like how you can kind of kill time in a productive way, I guess, should we talk about sort of the mindset that happens where like, I'm ambitious, I want to do amazing stuff, but they're just, I don't work in a place where that's available.
Mm-hmm. This kind of reminds me of a time when I had, this was just an internship, but I think it was like full day twice a week. So, but the days that I went there, I would get like one task and truly nothing for like 8 hours. So I was like, well, I actually want to learn, and for the sake of also just not being bored, because I'm not just going to be like, I don't know, on my phone or something. So I actually just befriended someone in another department who was a manager in something that was like completely out. I was like in a production department or something, and this person was like in accounts or something. And we just happened to just chat. And so he started giving me tasks from his department, even though I wasn't like technically in that program.
Right.
And I would just do stuff because I was like, oh, I mean, I'm not doing anything else. And this is just, I'm learning about how like the finance side of this works. So I would just pick up work that way.
Right.
By talking to other department heads. Because also as an intern, like my direct like managers were just super busy themselves. So, and I totally understand like not delegating a lot of time to like, let me think of little projects for the interns.
Right. It's a task for the manager to think of work to give people.
Yeah. But I know that's a little different than like with a temporary intern job than a full-time job where you report every day.
But you could still go to your boss and say, hey, I've noticed that you are, you know, drowning in XYZ projects. Like, what can I help with? Or even go with the plan of like, I can help with this, and this. I think doing some of the thinking for them is really important here.
Yeah. I think it's coming with basically a wish list of what you'd like to do rather mm-hmm. than being like, I have nothing to do, and like throwing your hands up and your boss is like, I don't even have time to
figure out
what you should do. So if you came with a plan of like, I would love to pick up this, I noticed that we could be doing more of this, and mm-hmm. you know, my skill set is also in this. Right.
Mm-hmm. Or like, I've noticed that the folders that we keep all the documents in is like really disorganized. I'm going to clean that up. Or like, we had, I remember at one of my jobs, we had like a very slop together process on how like we would bring candidates in and sort, and like somebody like redid the whole thing and put mm-hmm. it and like printed it out in this beautiful way and put them in binders, so it was easy to reference. So like, maybe find what's like really unproductive at your company or really inefficient and find a way to make it more efficient. I mean, people hate thinking about workflows and processes, but like, how could you improve those? Mm-hmm. And then taking on the I think the main point here is like, you are initiating the projects and not waiting for people to assign mm-hmm. things to you.
Yeah, because you usually have an idea of what needs to get done, even if it's something outside of your normal mm-hmm. Job responsibilities. It's like, you know what kind of bothers you throughout the day. Like, why don't we do this?
Right.
Or and if it's something that you can change easily or organize or clean up, that's a great time to do that. And once it's done, like, I don't know, you also have proven yourself as like I did something that's outside right. of my job, but
and you'll feel better team. About it mm-hmm. for sure. I know when I was an admin assistant and I was so bored, and I basically wait for the phone to ring. That was the only way I had something to do. So I showed up every day not really having things to do. I was just waiting for it. But I took on this task where everybody who would come into the office, they would almost always ask the same few questions. And I asked my boss, I was like, you know, because they ask these same questions, I'd really love to make like an FAQ pamphlet. And she was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, you could tell she could have cared less, mm-hmm. but it was really fun for me. And it was a way for me to have a project and I guess almost like a creative outlet. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say, if you're bored at work, is like, you mentioned this, Aaliyah, with talking to other departments, but have informational interviews. Find people either in your company or your department and just try once a week to talk to a new person. Like, just become a student of like, I just constantly am learning about how people got in their career and what they're doing. Because I think also when you're really ambitious, maybe obviously this isn't probably the long-term job for you, but maybe you don't know what it is that you want to do next. And you have to start engaging some way in people's stories or what other or potential career paths out there. That's really the best way for you to at least kind of have, not go blindly into just applying for jobs online, I should say.
Mm-hmm. And I think using your extra time to just advance your learning in any capacity yes. is huge, because most of the time that can be done online or
mm-hmm. yep.
By reading stuff or taking an online course. So if you can do that at work and it's helping your current job, it's like, that's work, you know, you're
yeah.
still working, you're learning how to do something or sharpen a skill that will just only improve your quality of work. So filling that time with learning is really important too.
Yeah. I'm just going to read a couple of things off the list. Write a professional contact to suggest a coffee. We mentioned that. Update your email signature. Check in with your network. Make a to read folder in your inbox. Make a to do someday folder in your inbox. Write an email to your boss letting her know that you want to discuss some new responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we'll make sure you guys have this article in the show notes. It's called 65 Productive Things to Do When You're Bored at Work. But the point being is like, if you're bored at work, find a creative outlet, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have the template, right?
Yes. So we actually have another article that's called How to Ask Your Boss for Anything at Work.
That's right.
That can be from asking for more work to actually, to Aaliyah's point, to asking for your boss to pay or reimburse you for a online course mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah. I love that. A lot of these software programs too, like, okay, we're talking about an online course, but maybe you need to learn a new software mm-hmm. program to create a new workflow for your company. A lot of those have, or a lot of software companies have a lot of online training for their tools, either on YouTube or on their own website. Mm-hmm. So basically, you got to come up with your own responsibilities mm-hmm. and that will help a lot. All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of The Females. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a review. You know, we love reading them.
And in case you've decided that your solution to bouncing back from your embarrassing moment is to move on to a new job, we can help with that. Download our free checklist for how to launch a job search in 24 hours. That's included in the show notes.
And thank you to the Career Contessa community for sharing your mortifying work stories with us.